So we are talking about what does this church value? What is our shared value? And I want to preach this to you because I want all of us to understand what do we value. One of the things that we've gone over is we value people that aren't in the family of God. We don't have a club here where we say, what we got going is cool, and you know what, all the people that aren't church, stay out. No, that's not our value. We value them, and we want them to be in the family of God. So because of that, we do different things. We don't park close, we park far. We sit close, but we park far. Why? Because we want somebody coming for the first time to be able to park close. Why? Because we value them. We have contemporary music. And you know what? I told the first service, you know what? I was raised with the hymns. I am so comfortable with an organ and a piano, and that's all the instruments, and singing all the old hymns. I am good to go. Well, why don't we do that? Because, and we sing hymns every once in a while, but we sing them with a funky drummer, amen? Right? Why? Because people that are coming from the outside into our church, we want them to be able to relate. And so when they see, you know, Richard up here jamming on his guitar, they're like, hey, you know what? They can go, hey, like wow, it kind of reminds me of like Van Halen, man. That guy's cool. And we're not trying to be secular, but we're trying to be relational. Does that make sense? And I could give you all kinds of examples, but that is our shared value, and we have to continue, and I have to press that. I continue to have to press that, because very quickly we can get set in our ways and not keep up to the contemporariness of what's going on. Give me a big amen to that. Look at your neighbor and say, we love change here at this church. Another one of our shared values is unity. Everybody say unity. Okay. And let me tell you what, you don't create unity by getting on the internet and gossiping about somebody. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. I don't know why people, you know what? I'm talking about Christian people. You know, Christian people. People call themselves Christian. Get on the internet and they start talking about just junk, man. Hey, do me a favor. Save your drama for your mama. No, really, save it. Get off the, you know what? You need to be delivered from internet gossip. You know, people get on the internet and they think they feel all free. I'm just, you know what? Hey, love you, but shutteth thou moutheth. Yeah, shutteth, you know, let me get you some gloves that you can't type or something. Why? Because let me tell you what, people have that in this world, they have that in the work. They need to come in here and feel, you know what, a family of unity where we're, and I'm not saying, you know what, and we're not easily offended. What are we eating today, Tamara? I don't want tostados, you know what? We always have Mexican food. Why are you always in Mexican food? Why don't you shutteth thou upeth, amen? Right? Who cares, amen? Who cares what kind of food we have? That doesn't make any difference. But creating an atmosphere where you just are like, hey, tostadas today. Praise God. I'm hungry. See how much more inviting that is? Does that make sense? So we have a shared value. Today I want to talk about shared value of the presence of God. How many experience the presence? How many love? Man, give the worship team a great hand. Awesome job. Well, what are we doing? We are saying to, we say to God, God, come in this place. You don't need to hear me preach a good sermon today. You don't need me to motivate you. You don't need a motivative speaker. And I'm not against motivated speakers. Praise God for them. They're positive and I like it. But what we need is we need to hear, what is God speaking to us today? What is the message? What is God saying? That's what you need. We don't need to sing a song. We need to worship God. We need his presence. I love what Moses, I love his heart. Moses was like, God was frustrated because of their disobedience, their stiff-neckedness, their unwillingness, their hard hearts, their accusations against him. Listen, let me tell you about God. God is a good God. Stop thinking that, you know, stop getting confused. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. That's who our God is. And so Moses, but God was frustrated. He said, I'm not going anymore. You guys go in the promised land. I'm staying here. I love the heart of Moses. Moses is like, what's the point? You are the blesser. What's the point of having blessings without the one who brings the blessings? That's just stuff. I don't want the stuff. I want you. Wow. That's what we need to seek. Now, very quickly, let me tell you, I love you guys, but I'll show you the scripture. What can we do? Well, let me tell you what Jesus said you can do. You can do nothing. John chapter 15, verse 5. Watch, look at it. I can do nothing. Jesus said it. Watch this. I am the vine, you are the branches. I am the vine, Jesus says, you are the branch. Say, I'm a branch. Okay? What happens when a branch gets cut off? And it can be full of fruit, but what's going to happen in 3 or 4 or 5 or 8 days? There will be no more fruit coming from that branch. Why? Because it's separated from the vine. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. I'm not saying you can't do much great works. Anybody who's been around here knows I believe in you. I believe God is raising up leaders to do emphatical, radical, great, mighty things. Yeah, little old me, absolutely. You little old you connected with the vine. But notice what he says without this connection. For without me, everybody help me with this. For without me, finish this. Come on, everybody say it. You can do nothing. Let's personalize it. I can do nothing. Say it again together. I can do nothing. Say nothing 5 times. Did you get it? Nothing. Yeah, but I don't know what I could do. No. You can do nothing of significance. The Bible says our works are going to be thrown into the fire, and the things that we were doing that didn't have to do with God, it's just all going to be burned up. Why? Because it's nothing. Wow. Well, look at this. Look at this. Look at John chapter 5, verse 19 up here on the screens with me. Because watch this. Look at what Jesus said. And Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly. Now, I taught the first service this, but let me teach you this. When Jesus says most assuredly, don't look, that's cheating. Look up here. When Jesus says most assuredly, here's what he means. Here's what he's about to say. He's about to tell you something that's hard to believe. That's why he says, hey guys, I'm telling you the truth. Because he's about to tell you something that'll just go, whoa. Are you ready for this? For most assuredly, what are you going to read? You're going to read something that seems impossible. Seems like it doesn't even make sense. But Jesus says, most assuredly, that's why he says it first. Most assuredly, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing. He's talking about himself. The Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Did you catch it? You can do nothing, Jesus said of himself. And guys, I can't do anything either. Yeah, but he was God. Yeah, but Philippians said he emptied himself of all heavenly privileges. That's why he had to go. Remember, John the Baptist was like, well, I ain't going to baptize you. Jesus was like, you got to. You got to fulfill prophecy. John the Baptist baptized him, and then the Holy Spirit came. And what? What did he do? He sat on him. He engulfed him. And then he's led by the Spirit. What did he do? The Spirit, now Jesus gets baptized in the Holy by water, but he gets baptized in the Holy Spirit this day. Now he's leading, being led by the Spirit. Why? Because he needs the presence of God. He's not walking around, I'm the Son of God. He was the Son of God, but he's walking as a man. That's why he called himself the Son of Man all the time. John chapter 5, verse 30. Look what it says. He repeats himself. I can of myself do nothing. This is Jesus. He says it twice, and then he tells you that separated from me, we can do nothing. That is why we value his presence. Because without it, I'm up here just trying to figure out, I don't need to figure out what to say. I need to hear what God is speaking to me to speak to you. So you don't need to hear a good message. You need to hear a message from God. How many know there's a big difference? We don't need to just sing a song. We need to worship the one true and living God. We need, listen, you need God's help. Here's what the Bible says. God's ways are higher than your ways. So what do? We need to get on the, we need to tap into, listen to me, somebody. We need to tap into the frequency of God. We need to get on the God frequency. We spend too much time. James says, why do you say, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to go to the city, we're going to make some money. Shh, he says, what you ought to say is if the will of God is this. Here's what he's saying. He's not saying that you automatically, I know Christian people just say, you know, hey, I'll see you at church, see you at church Wednesday. Oh, yes, praise the Lord, if God wills. Yeah, it is God's will that you be in church, so get here on Wednesday, amen? Right? It doesn't need to be an add-on to sound religious. He's saying, here's what you need to do, moms. You need to raise your daughters by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Fathers, you need to raise your sons by the presence of the Holy Spirit. I was sitting, my dad's service was yesterday. It was a beautiful thing. Thank you, so many of you came, and thank you for your love and support. But we were sitting at a table, and this one lady said, oh my goodness, Pastor, 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, when you said this, here's what she said. When you said, you know what, let me follow you in your house with a video and let's see what's going on with your mouth. She said, oh my goodness, Pastor, that was so helpful. Oh, yes, yes, yes. I have it right here in my notes. Oh, I'm sorry, it wasn't there in my notes. Let me tell you how I prepare to talk to you. I spend time and I sense, and many times I bounce it off Tamara, and I sense what series we need to do. And then as I understand and believe, and this is by faith, but as I believe that I'm hearing from God to give a series, then I come up like we believe that God was speaking about, we need to talk about our shared values. And one of the shared values was the presence of God. Well, what did we do? The main thing that I'm studying is the Word. The Word, the Word, the Word. My dad told me, he used to tell me, man, I don't know where you come up with these illustrations. They're so helpful. They're so awesome. Your examples are so good. Where do you come up with them? I'm like, because I don't figure out hardly ever an illustration ever. I just study the text. And then in the real live time, and I'm not saying it's ungodly to use an illustration. I'm not saying, or to plan an illustration. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that was so critically helpful. I learned from somebody and they said this, you need to preach in the prophetic. Please understand where the prophetic is. The prophetic is just God speaking his word into your life. And much of the prophetic, much of the prophetic is just the word of God. I don't know if we're going to do this or not, because I need to walk in the prophetic. And just because this happens all the time. If I preached all my notes, we'd be here till 4 o'clock every single Sunday. But I load the thing up with notes, and then I want the Holy Spirit to say that and say that and pick here and go there. But much of the prophetic is simply someone declaring the word of God over you. That's all it is. So I want to quickly just remind you that, one, without God we can do nothing. That's why his presence is so important to us. Number two, you know what? God is way smarter than we are. The Bible says his ways are higher than our ways. The Bible says all good gifts come from him. So to have his blessing and his wisdom and his goodness, we need to find out what God is saying. Turn with me to 1 Timothy. Guys, go to the last point. The last point is this. We must tune into God's frequency. Say, I need to tune into God's frequency. When I was growing up, they didn't have these digital radios. It was this tuner, and you turn this big knob, and you'd have to tune into the frequency. We need to tune into the frequency of God. Listen to what he says in guys, go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. This charge, this word charge can also be, is also interpreted, the Greek word is also interpreted, a translated commandment. When Jesus is is casting out a demon, he says this, he charges that demon to come out. In that text, he doesn't use the word charge. He uses the word, he commands the demon to come out. So do you understand the word picture? He's not suggesting this. He's not going up to Timothy and say, hey, Timothy, I know you got some prophecy, and dude, what I think is it'd be cool. I mean, if you get around to it, that's not what he's doing. This charge I commit to you. It's this commandment. I'm telling you, this is important. Son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you might wage a good warfare. How do you wage a good warfare? By the prophetic, he tells Timothy, there's these prophecies that were spoken over you, and you need to remember those prophecies because that is what you're called to do. And in the midst of hardship and going uphill, and having, you ever rode a bike uphill? You know what I mean? Like, man, let's turn around and go the other way. So I'm going downhill. No, you have to remember, no, there's something up on top of that hill that is desirable. So you've got to press through that. And these prophecies that have been previously spoken to you are going to help you in the tough times. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? And so there's been times in our life at this church that it hasn't been easy. Why did you keep on going? Because we knew what God had spoken to us. We knew that the word of God said that if we were willing and obedient, we'd eat the fat of the land. We knew the Bible says to not grow weary in doing good, for in due season you will reap if you don't faint. See, can I tell you what? Most prophecy is just a repetitiveness of the word of God. We had a prophet, we had the speaker that came to camp. He's very, very prophetic, and he's awesome. Matter of fact, I'm going to have him come and preach to y'all. You know, awesome, young man, but he's very, very prophetic, and he spoke over us, and it was beautiful, beautiful thing. But much of everything, almost everything that he spoke to us was just him telling us what was already in the Bible already. Okay, I'm going to give you a way better chance to say amen to that. Tamara's going to tell you a story in a little bit, and just how crazy. Can I tell you what's happened in the body of Christ? In the body of Christ, there's been such a, the Bible says, let everything be done. It's right in the passage, right in the place where he's talking about walking in the supernatural and the gifts of the Spirit. And right at the end, Paul says, let everything be done in decency and order. And so you have this prophetic, the Bible encourages us to prophesy, the Bible encourages us to speak in tongues, but especially that you would prophesy, and you know what, and then when we have people do that, it gets messy. Amen? You know, Tamara sometimes says, you know what, Drew, come in and help me make this meal in the kitchen. You know what, and then about 5 minutes later, she's like, hey, why don't you go vacuum or something? Can I tell you why? Because it gets messy, man. I don't know. You know, I'll get all the egg beater out of, you know. I mean, I'll plug in that thing and we're going to, you know, you what? You want me to, you know, twist the potatoes or something? I don't never did this before. You know, it's going all over. What? I didn't know. You know what I mean? No, there's milk in there and there's butter. You got to put it on the slow one first. I just want to do it faster. I'm hungry. You know what I mean? Right? You know what? And that's fine for me to be kicked out and to vacuum. That's fine. But it's not okay to take what God says. Guys, listen. These are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We have churches. We have pastors. And we don't want to teach on any of this stuff. We just said, no. It's kind of mess. And what's happened now is because there's been such an outpouring of the Holy Spirit with the gifts that these churches won't say the gifts of Pastor Wade. In years past, they said, oh, these gifts passed away with the apostles. Had no verse, had no place to prove it. They just said that. Amen. And God bless the people who sat under them, because you know what? I tell you, you bring your Bible. Amen. You watch, you read your Bible every day. You got to know this word. You know what I mean? This is important. This is our life manual. We got to learn this stuff. But these people in the pews, they didn't have their Bible. They don't read their Bible. And then the pastor gets up and says, oh, you know what? All that tongue stuff. It's just, they just all passed away. And I'm like, and then the pastor says, oh, and I haven't been given the gift. And everybody goes, yeah, me neither. Amen. And then they'll spend 25 minutes preaching something completely out of context, you know what, of something that Paul spoke to the Corinthian church that all had the gifts but were completely out of order. And we'll exalt that and try to apply that and say, see, that applies. And it has no application at all. Let everything be done in decency and order. What does that mean? Here, let me tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that nobody speaks in tongues except in a small little back room where nobody will be affected. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. That's what it doesn't mean. You know what it means? It means when we're at a quiet time, when we're whatever we're singing, you know what? You know what? Holy Spirit, come into this place. That somebody's not jumping up. What? Out of order. But if you think order means that never takes place, that's out of order. Because Paul says, you know what I want? I want you all to prophesy. Oh, and by the way, I want you to speak in tongues too. I'll show it to you. That's what he says. Yeah, but I was raised Catholic. Hey, well, what'd you come in the door for? No, that's a good question, is it not? I don't know about you. I came in the door that God would change my life. Amen. I came in the door to be taught the Word of God, that the Word of God would confront where I need to be changed, and then I'd allow the Word of God to say, this is true. Is this making sense?
Yes.
So how do we wage a good warfare? We've got to enjoy the presence of God. And in the presence of God, God will speak to you. God has spoken to you, and all I'm doing is preaching, but I'm preaching in the prophetic, and God is saying, that's for you. And you're like, wow, how did God know? Because God knows, because The Bible says, we just read it in our daily Bible reading in Hebrews, that everyone's naked before God. You ain't hiding anything from God. You know, thinking you're smoking a joint behind some bush or something. You know what I mean? Oh, you don't know. Nobody knows. You know what? Are you kidding me? You know? It's so ridiculous. You know what I mean? Thinking you're, you know what, having sex with somebody, you don't want, with the lights out, nobody knows what's going on. I'm not talking about sex and marriage. Man, sex and marriage, hallelujah, Jesus. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about something that is outside of God. And you act like, you know what, like if you turn off the lights, he's not going to see. He sees everything. He knows what's going on. You know what I mean? God's spoken to you to become a giver and become a tither. You're like, ooh, you know, nobody's going to know. You know what I mean? He know. Nobody needs to know. God knows everything. You can't hide it from God. I hear what I'm saying. But God will speak to you. But I just want to quickly go over some passages in 1 Corinthians, that'll help you. Chairman, I'm going to give you a little bit more time, and I just sense that we are not going to listen to the prophecy. So let me show you a couple things. Now, my wife is so gracious to me. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 5. Look at this, right up here on the screen. And here's what, everybody say, I need to connect with the frequency of God. What am I just saying? I'm just saying we need to hear what God has to say. We need to get, and to connect with the frequency of God, you know what? We've got to be able to be humble and say, God, what are you saying? Watch this. I wish you all spoke in tongues. Oh, but not everybody can. Well, where'd you come up with that? No. He wishes that everybody spoke in tongues. He wishes that people would submit to the Holy Spirit. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Jesus said, you know what? That God will give the Holy Spirit to everyone who asks. I wish that you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you prophesied. Everybody say, we need to prophesy. Say, everybody. Now, what, you know what everybody means? Everybody means you. Well, and you go, ooh, you know, because we think this prophecy, ooh, that's right, the Lord. Ooh, you know what? Sometimes prophecy can just be saying, hey, brother, you know what? I just want to encourage you today. You know what? The Bible says, you know what? That you are the head, not the tail. And I just sense the Holy Spirit, I just sense, and you don't have to get all freaky and all talk, start talking and, who the God is saying, you know what I mean? Sometimes we think that the prophecy God has to be in this funky way, you know what I mean? It's like, ooh, ooh, yeah, yo, wahoo, wahoo, wahoo. Dude. Amen. Sometimes I can just say, brother, I just want to encourage you. You know what? I hear God speaking to me, and he's saying, you know what? You are the head, not the tail. And you have no idea what's going on. And I'm not doing this, but you know what? But somebody could be, he could be going through something, and you know what, he could be discouraged, and he could be, you know what, just gone through something, and he just needs, and what am I doing? I'm just speaking the word. This is prophetic, but I'm sensing that that's what he needs to hear. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Is somebody learning something today? We all need to step into the prophetic. The prophetic is just hearing from God. Who doesn't need to hear? What Christian doesn't need to hear from God and then share with somebody else? That should be all of us. That's all he's saying. Watch this. 14 verse 20. This is so powerful. 14 verse 20. Brethren, do not be children. Do not be children in understanding. See, God's ways are higher than our ways. In other words, our ways are low, but God's ways are high. You know what? So don't be, brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes. You know what that means? Man, just think everybody is good. Just don't judge anybody's motives. Amen? Just believe the blessed people. Watch this. But in understanding be mature. In understanding. Everybody says, in understanding, be mature. We need to hear what God is saying. We need to get off our low. Watch. We were coming home the other day, and this off-ramp was closed, and this off-ramp was closed, and this off-ramp was closed. And I was getting frustrated, and I thought, man, I'm just going to, because the lady on the The MapQuest lady, she's the GPS lady. She's like, don't go that way, go this way. And I just get frustrated. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go the way I want to go. And my wife was gracious, and she said, you know what, Drew? Just do what she says. She'll get you on the freeway. She'll get you, you know, she says, it says we'll be home in an hour. Just do what she says. And then my daughter, praise God, she said, hey, Dad, weren't you just saying last week that you ought to follow the GPS? I was like, okay. And what did you do? I just did what the GPS told me. And it wasn't but 3 minutes. We were on the freeway on the way home. Here's what I'm saying. You know what? Let's not be babes. Let's not be children in our understanding. Let's get on. You know what? God will show you his ways. He's not trying to keep his way from you. He's trying to tell. But you've got to tune on to his frequency. Is somebody hearing me? Now watch this passage. This is so awesome. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23. Look what he says. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues. Now, who's this talking to? He's talking to the Corinthian church. And the Corinthian church, love them, they're crazy. They're absolutely crazy. And here's what they're doing. Everybody, you know, so this person is saying, second row, third row. And somebody coming in for the first time, and they're like, what's going on? So you have to take it in context. What he's saying is, in your church, believe it or not, in their church, that it would have services, and there would be nobody speaking in a language that was known for the whole service. They're all just speaking in tongues. And the person comes in, and just goes, wow, these people are crazy. And they turn around and they go home and they go to the bowling alley instead. That was taking place. And Paul brings a correction. He's like, what's wrong with you guys? Praise God, you have the gift of tongues, but you have to be discerning in when to use it. Watch this, this is so good. Does that mean he says don't pray in tongues? No. Does that mean he doesn't speak it? No, he says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do both. I'm going to pray with my understanding. I'm going to pray with my gift. I'm going to pray with my, what does he say? Thank you. He says, I'm going to pray with my understanding. I'm going to pray in the Spirit. I'm going to sing with my understanding. I'm going to sing in the Spirit. He's saying, and he even says, in the body of Christ, in the congregation. Very next verse, he's saying, in the congregation. So what do we do here? We do both. But we do it in decency and order. Amen? Does this make sense? We don't not do it because it's going to, oh, what you're going to, no. Let's do it properly. But watch this. Watch about prophecy. And all speak, watch this. Therefore, the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues. If all everybody speak in tongues and there comes those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say, what? That you are out of your mind? They don't know. But watch this. Next verse. But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in. Now look what will happen if you come. But Pastor, I love all of you. But some of you don't come to church prepared. You know what? There's no prayer in advance. There's no thinking of what the Spirit's saying. You're just so in the flesh, in the carnal, going here and going there and doing all this stuff. And then you just plop yourself down. It's like, Pastor, feed me. Well, listen, I love you. I'll feed you. I'm feeding you today, amen? I mean, learning something. I'm glad to feed you, amen? But what we want to develop in a place in this church is where somebody comes in and I'm feeding them, but everybody has the ability to feed them. Are you hearing this? I'm just telling you what Paul says. But if all prophesy, everybody say all prophesy. If all prophesy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by who? By the pastor. No. The pastor might be the main person, but he's convinced by all. But watch this. He is convicted by all. Now, is that good? Right. Somebody say that's good. Watch this next verse. Let me show you what's going to happen to this guy. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly, what? See, I love you. You have no business just coming in and plopping yourself down.
What you got, Pastor?
No. No. What we want is we want a church where people are prepared, where people are praying, where people are fasting, where people are sensitive to the Spirit of God, where you are sensitive to the Spirit of God. And some of you think, and I'm not, listen, just for the record, I love Benny Hinn, just for the record. But see, sometimes you think you have to act like Benny Hinn. Listen, how many know God doesn't need another Benny Hinn? And I don't mean that disrespectful. But what I mean is, just be who you are, but be filled with the Spirit of God, that you can sit here and sense. And so I speak, you know what, you are the head, not the tail. And he's leaving, and somebody else just says, hey, I just want to encourage you today. You know what, I just sense, man, God is so proud of you. And where does he go? He goes from here. I'm the head, Pastor, I'm the head, not the tail. God's speaking to me. And then this other guy encouraged me. And then this person encouraged me. And by the time we get done, I don't mean to point you out. By the time the Holy Spirit gets done, what's going on? Let me tell you where he is. What's the Bible say? He is on his face. And he says, God is in this place. Tamara's going to tell you a great story. Actually, I hate this story. I hate that story, and I love that story. But you're going to have to come another time for you to hear that story. Is it Pastor? Yeah, Facebook it. It was in the first service. Now listen, before you get disappointed, let me just let this be a coaching moment to you. Watch this. We need to be led of the Spirit. Oh, but, Pastor Timmer, but I wanted you to tell that story. Listen, God knows what we need. And so I need to be able to trust, and I know, Tamara has a lot of experience in the things of God. That's why I can, you know what, I can trust her. And I know whatever she's going to tell you is going to be awesome. But listen, we have got to, the Bible, I love what Paul said. He said, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I acted like a child, I behaved like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I'm not getting on anybody, but I'm encouraging y'all. I'm encouraging every one of you. I've been saved for 8 years, I've been saved for 10 years, I've been saved, even if you've been saved for 12 months. Maybe you've only been saved for 12 weeks. But you can pray. The Holy Spirit can speak to you. And you want to be, listen, the Bible says, you want to be slow to speak. A lot of times the Holy Spirit will tell you something. Just because he tells you something doesn't mean you got to speak it to everybody else. Sometimes he'll say, I want you to know this, but I want you to be quiet about it right now. There's some vision that I have for this church that you don't even know. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's revealed it to me, but he said, no. Not yet. Pastor, what is it? I ain't telling you. Are you hearing what God is saying to us? But we've got to come into the family of God. We've got to come into the house of God. You know what? Prepared that God can use us, because God can use any of us. And God wants to use all of us.
Amen.
I can hardly wait to hear what story you're going to tell.
Sorry. You know what?
One of our pillars is that we're a Spirit-led church, and we really want God to be able to say what God wants to say. We don't want to be in a habit of coming and just mundanely doing what we do. But we want to know that we have come here today to have an encounter with the Lord. We've come here today that God would speak to us, that we can hear what he has to say. We're his people and he is our God. Amen. So we want to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us. So on that note, first service is many times just different as the Spirit of God just does what he wants to do. So you can go to Facebook Live and you can catch the first service. It'll be posted. So it'll be labeled first service and second service with this date. And the first service was very different and very good. You know what? Good teaching in there as well. But this is different. And so anyone who was in the first service can catch the second service. Amen. You get what they didn't get, and they got something that you didn't get. But God is ministering to those who are in this room. It's a different crowd that was here than the first service. And so when we had that scripture up there, John 15:5 that Pastor used, the Spirit of God began to minister something to me. And so John 15:5. You got that one? Come back with me, you guys. So that's the one that says, he who abides in me and I in him. And what's going to happen in this, it's conditional. I want you to notice how conditional this is. He who abides in me and I abide in him, these are the ones that are going to bear much fruit. But do you notice it's not just me abiding in God, but there's two things happening there. He's abiding with me too. Do you know people? This is very important, what God is teaching us right now, because where he's moving our church. Do you know people? I've known a lot of people. So I bet you have too. They have a lot of God talk. They have a lot of God jargon. Like, they know scriptures, and they talk about God, and they'll hallelujah and amen with the best of them. But there's a problem. And the problem is, God abiding in them. It's almost like the one who does this bears much fruit. Here, I'm going to tell you a real-time thing that's happened. A lot of stuff happens. You know, we've been here 17 years. And we, in the morning service, we were talking about the parking lot prophets. And we were talking about the beware of the prophets in the hotel hallways. And we were talking about the fact that when the prophetic is spoken, the prophetic is never outside of the Word of God. And we talked about some real situations that had happened in my life when I first got introduced to the prophetic. And what it brought much confusion. And it, of course it would, because it was a lot of manipulation going on. So when that all happened in my life, here's what I want to say as we begin to walk in this in the church. It's very, very important. You guys are called the, if we look at the Word of God, the congregation is the sheep, and then the pastor is called the shepherd. And one of the things that a shepherd does for a sheep, he feeds them, right? He tends to them, right? And he protects them, does he not? And so one of the things we're not going to do is have this chaos where the enemy can come in with manipulation and begin to manipulate God's people, and that they're not protected. So here's what I want to say. Very smart thing. Somebody prophesies to you, someone gives you a word, it's very wise as a sheep to let your shepherd know, hey, This guy over here with a striped gray and white shirt that was on your worship team, he gave me a word, and here's what he said, Pastor. So I just wanted to, you know, submit that to you and then Pastor Drew can go there or there. Either a coaching moment's going to come out of it for Ernie, right? If it's not of God, right? So we can coach Ernie and say, hey, Ernie, you know, and we can coach and say, you know what, and help him walk in the prophetic as well. That'll work, right? And we protect the sheep. Because what we don't want to do is begin to walk in the gift of prophetic in our church, and then it becomes all chaos. Everything has to be of God, amen? So this much fruit, and here's another misunderstanding. You know what fruit is? Let's talk about what is the fruit of the Spirit according to the Word of God. Everything has to be according to the Word of God. So the fruit of the Spirit according to the Word of God is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and patience. So real time, what's happened in this church is somebody has was at the church for a while, and then they left the church, and they have run into people in the grocery store and at the mall, and they recognize, oh, excuse me, don't you go to Hope? Yeah, you do. I left. I just want you to know Pastor Drew's demon possessed, and the Lord told me to get out of there. You know what I mean? And so I just felt like the Lord was just telling me, you know what, to just let you know that I'm no longer there. You know what? And you should get out of there too if you're smart. Now, this is real. Can I tell you that really happened? That really happened lots of times, a couple times. Now, let's take that word. Here's the sad part. You know what? Some people, when that's happened, here's what's happened. They got very confused. They got very concerned. And they said, well, here's what they said. Why would, she's a Christian, why would she say it if it wasn't true? Hola. Hey, let's examine it, shall we? Can we just examine this as a church? Okay. Before we examine it as a church, stay there. Hang on to that one, okay? Put that one on the post-it right up there. John 13:35 says, and they will know that you are my disciples by your love. Now, what's another word synonymous for God? Love. God is love, right? This is what the Bible says. God is love. So they will know that you are disciples by your, can we do it? By your God. The Christians in Antioch, they didn't label themselves Christians. The followers of Jesus Christ were labeled Christian. And here's why they were labeled by Christian, by the non-Christian people. They were labeled Christian by the non-Christian people because they were known for looking like, acting like, behaving like Jesus Christ. And so they started calling them little Christs, little Christians, Christians, Christ followers. So if we know the fruit of who God is, and I'm in the grocery store and someone comes up to me and says, hey, I just want you to know. You know what? Is that according to the Word of God? Is that something that we should embrace and receive? According to the Word of God, would we call that gossip? Would we call that seeds of discord? Would we call that backbiting? I mean, we can call that a lot of things, but I don't know that we can call that the Spirit of God. Another real-time situation in the church. someone and say, how do you know all this, Pastor Tamara? Because people who love God and know God come to me and say, hey, just so you know. Because they know this is ridiculous. There was someone who came in the church one time, and they wanted to, see, we can't, listen, guys, the Spirit of God is trying to, if we want the presence of God, in the presence of God is His Spirit, and His Spirit does great and mighty things. But there's, we have an enemy against that, you know that, right? How do we have unity? If we don't know that we have an enemy who comes to bring division. If we can't take what's going on and look at the Word of God and properly assess whose fruit is that? Is that the fruit of Christ or the fruit of Antichrist? But He preys upon people. And He wants to bring confusion, and He wants to bring division, and He wants to harm the sheep. But I can't follow you everywhere, and I don't know all things. You have to receive God's plan that you're a sheep and that He's given you a shepherd. And you have to bring it forth and say, hey, just want to be sure. When I was a young believer, I was probably a year old in the Lord, and I had no idea about the prophetic. I had just got saved. And I went to a women's, I was not at some satanic camp. I was at a women's ministry meeting from my church. And people came to me and began to tell me about dreams that they had about me, and began to tell me what the Lord was saying to them about me. And it really messed things up. And it brought a lot of heartache and a lot of pain. This is not of God. Had I known God's word, had I understood, it wouldn't have happened. But the enemy's kind of like that. Isn't he a sucker? Remember when he used to come in, what was it, the Amalekites or the, when they used to come and hit attack, that attack from the behind. See, even in the army, in the enemies, it's like they had some character, some protocol, like the men fought the men, you know what I mean? You left the women and the children alone. But there was one of the, was it the Amalekites? I think the Amalekites, they'd attack from behind. You know who was behind? The women and the children. So the enemy doesn't have any character. You understand that? He doesn't have any standard. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He has an agenda. He's Antichrist. And so don't ever hesitate to check, you know, a word that's been given. The word will never contradict the written word of God. One time, we were, it was early on, actually, Beth was here at that time. It was in those early days. And a lady had prophesied, Pastor Drew and I went to a pastor's breakfast, and we didn't know this lady at all. She was from Florida somewhere. And she began to prophesy over us. And she said, I see the two of you right now. The Lord is saying you're like a Joshua and a Caleb to go into the promised land. And you want to go, but you've got all these naysayers who are coming against. You know what? But the Lord is saying to you, go. He's with you. Go. Just go. And that was such a critical time for us, such a critical time for us, for what was going on at that moment here when God had called us here and we had this opposition going on and we had all this trouble going on. But it was, how long ago did that happen? And yet, God was able to take that and bring it right into, I don't know what year it was, 2009, 10, 11, 12, I don't know, and use that to really minister to us. We have to be sure that we're examining it. A man came here one time, brand new. You know, he's relatively new. And then he said he wanted us to give him a room because he was anointed. And he said, you know, I've got an anointing to teach, you know what I mean? And so I'd like you to let me just start teaching here. Hello. No, thank you. I don't even know who this guy is. So Pastor Drew told him, oh, no, you know, we're not going to do that. Oh, I love this church, Pastor. You're so great. And, man, this place is so great. Everything is so great. You're so great. Your wife is so great. Everything's so great, great, great. Really love you. And he would come. And he would sit. But here's what we found out what was happening. He was going amongst the people, and he had started a little Bible study in his home. And telling the people to come. And here's what he would tell them. He's, you know what? Hey, you know what? You two, you know, you guys are married. You know, I know you love God and everything. I've got a Bible study at my house. You know, if you guys want to come, you can come to the Bible study and everything. I can help you with your marriage. You know what? I love God, and God's just really anointed me to be able to help couples to really serve God and move together in the things of God. If Pastor Drew really loved you, you know what? He would help you. But I love you. I do. So come, I'm going to give you some marriage counsel. I'm going to work with you. Oh my goodness. So he started inviting people in his home, and then he started, you know what, telling them how much Pastor Drew and I really didn't love them, because if we really love them, you know what? And it was, there were people there, and they would sit under that. But thank you, Jesus, that one person came and said, hey, Pastor, I want you to know, first of all, I'm ashamed that I sat there for a little while listening to it. Second of all, you know what was a little crazy about this? We had known these sheep for a long time, and they had known us for a long time. And yet someone's able to just come in and start spilling. See, the sheep should have ran at that, right? We know God's word. This is not the spirit. This is not the fruit of God. But one person did and said, hey, I just wanted to let you know this is going on. Thank you. It's because of that person's submission to the word of God and lordship in their life that helped us protect all the other sheep. As we found that brother and said, brother, come. I understand this is what you're doing. You know, the Bible says that you're not to build on another man's foundation. It was highly inappropriate what he was doing. If you're so anointed and so called, then by all means, you and the Lord go do whatever the Lord has for you to do. But does it make sense to you that you would come into a church and then try to get the sheep at this church to come to your flock? That's building on another man's foundation. God says, don't do it. It's just ungodly behavior. But people want to take what is ungodly and call it God. But none of that is God's fruit. Do you understand that? So we can call ourselves, we can try and walk in, you know, remember, it's not just me abiding with God, but God's got to be abiding with me. And what I'm saying in that is I've known many people. I mean, some of these people that are these prophetic people They are the most disobedient, unsubmitted people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Their ways are not his ways. They do whatever they want. You know what the truth is? It's all about them. It's not about God. They want a platform. They want to be noticed. They want to blah, 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 blah. And we need to make sure that we're examining the fruit. Did Jesus tell us to do that? He sure did. You're going to know the ones who are mine by their fruit. Backbiting is not fruit. Gossip is not fruit. It's somebody's fruit. Can we not prophesy life? Or what else can we prophesy? Death. There's a Christ and an Antichrist. And we as believers have to figure out what's going on. Is this Christ or is this Antichrist fruit? If we just do that simple thing of examining fruit, we'll save ourselves a lot of headache. A lot of headache. And so as we begin to, as we're hearing God say what he's saying to us as a body, we had a great time in morning prayer. If you don't come to morning prayer, I invite you to be here. Wow, what a great time we had in morning prayer today. As God, here's what's happening. We're abiding in him and he's abiding in us. And there is this much move of the Spirit, much fruit that God wants to do. And he doesn't want to do it, you know what, just through Pastor and I. He wants to do it through us. That scripture, I don't know which one that was, honey, that you had, that talked about that. But that as we are all looking like, acting like, talking like Christ, that people will experience the presence of God and know his reality of who he is. Amen? And each one of us has to do our part to be abiding in so that he abides in us. And then I was talking to Pastor just early, actually driving in, and I said, you know what? God sounds like God no matter what vessel he's using. So, you know what? Many times, you know what? You'll hear something, and then there'll be some confirmation on it. God is telling you something. But you see, God sounds like God. The word sounds like the word, whether Drew says it or Paulette says it. If it's God, it's the same stuff. Do you understand that? It doesn't deviate. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we need to be wise. And we need to recognize our God. Amen? And what is him and what is not him? Because the enemy comes to take a little bit of truth and then twist something. That grocery store lady, and she is busy still in this city. That grocery store lady, you know what? She was upset. She did leave the church. That was true. But I don't gossip and tell the details of what's going on. If you knew the whole backdrop story, then you'd go, oh, she's offended. She's upset. She's mad. No wonder she's doing that. Right? But some of the sheep, you know what, will say, but why would she say that if it wasn't true? There was a husband and a wife that she caught one time. And the wife just knew this is ridiculousness. And she came to us and said, hey, just so you know what? But the husband, who was a younger believer, said, why would she say it if it wasn't true? She's a Christian. Well, I ask you, is she? According to the Word of God? Do you know what I'm saying? She's not walking in the ways of Christ. But she's still You know what? The Bible says we're to guard our heart with all diligence. The Bible says that if you have an issue with someone, go to that person and talk to them. So we as believers, something comes up, it's like, excuse me, whoa, hi. We need to not listen any more than we do, amen? Say, wait a second, that's inappropriate. The Word of God says that you're not supposed to, you know, be talking to me, you're supposed to be talking to them. Sounds to me like you should call Pastor Drew and Tamara. You probably got something to say to them. But, you know, she has nothing to say to us, actually. She just wants to go around and say something to everybody who will listen. Did they say that Jesus was demon-possessed? Yes, they did. We're in good company, Beth. We're in real good company. We're demon-possessed just like Jesus, amen? They will, listen, let me tell you something. Jesus really upset the religious people, did he not? Very much so. And we're also told, you know, beware when people are only saying good things about you. It doesn't bother me. You know what I mean? It does not bother me what happens out there. It bothers me if it hurts someone that I love, someone that is part of our family. Amen? And so Pastor Drew says it all the time. Our door is always opened. And many of you, you know what, know that, and you come through that door. Amen? All right. Thank you. Today was a different day. Amen? We got much. God is preparing us. God is preparing us. God is preparing us. God is preparing us. He has good things for us. And he's going to take us, you know what, into a just a new move of the Spirit that he's preparing us for that. Amen.